Hey, Che Diaz.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
Oh my God. I hope, you know, honestly, I so appreciate the representation of Che Diaz, like giving us something to work towards. You know what I mean? Mm. Like giving a goal, giving, like Che Diaz is what I'm trying to give every day of my life. And I didn't even realize until I met that character.
Can
so
I just
thank you.
Say that it has been resonating. Sarah Ramirez is by far one of the most attractive actors that have ever walked the face of the earth.
That is a true statement.
To me.
I think that's actually probably written off something.
Absolutely. I don't think that even needs to be really in question for folks.
No, Sarah Ramirez. I mean, Sarah Ramirez is always one of the most lovely to look at human beings on the planet. Mm.
So then I've never seen them in a sex scene that I recall. I don't know
if Callie Torres and
Dr. Arizona fucked. I kind of don't think so. It was a date.
Shout out to Dr. Arizona. You know what? I didn't watch Grey's Anatomy, but that actor is also very attractive and queer.
I'd be doing gay shit.
Very, very gay shit.
Wait. Now I'm just seeing her face. I'm assuming her for some reason.
Yeah.
And I know I've seen
that person was on Weeds. I think that person was Weeds, Nancy Botwin's like mom friend. Mm. And I love that person very, very
much. We do this. See, Sex and the Titty. Now I'm talking about weed.
Today's episode is about Sex and the Titty for the most part.
Jessamine, what are you bringing in or grateful for?
Oh my God. What I'm grateful for is this house. I'm grateful for this life. I love my life. I'm really enjoying my life right now. I'm like, just, I don't know. That's really it. I am grateful for the wheel of fortune. I'm grateful for the fact that the wheel keeps turning. And I want to... Sometimes I get caught up like remembering that, okay, Jessamine, this is not forever. There's bad times are coming, but it's whatever. Like, you don't need to remember that there's bad times are coming because they're always coming. So it doesn't really matter.
They'll just be here.
So I'm grateful for the Wheel of Fortune. I'm grateful for the fact that life keeps turning and I'm enjoying the ride.
You often say life is lifen, which I think has a little bit of a connotation. So it's nice to hear you say life is turn. I don't remember what you said, but you didn't say lifen.
Life is lifen. It don't ever stop laughing. What are you bringing in this week?
I am bringing in a little Che Diaz, and I mean that this way. Mm. When Che and Miranda were fucking, Miranda, like a sweet, good new lesbian, looked into their eyes and said, "I love you."
Oh my God.
And Che said, "You love yourself." And I was just like, on the note of wanting to bring that energy in, I feel like anytime we can remind ourselves and each other that our obsession and infatuation could really just be turned inward and we would still have all the love, we would still have all the companionship, we would still have all the affection, we would still have all the friendship, we would still have all our needs met, we would, because we'd be meeting ours first. And then everything else becomes unacceptable. Every shitty interaction is kind of like, oh man, I love myself way too much for that. It's not about the other person. It's like, how can I bring my loving myself to this interaction? So I'm bringing that in, the spirit of that character and the spirit of telling somebody who you just made come that actually they love themselves. Like, that just feels like the deepest truth because it also leaves space for you to do that for yourself too. So I suppose International Che Diaz Day.
Can I just also say that, like, that experience of loving yourself makes it possible to experience love from other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that so often we don't practice loving ourselves and so therefore have no idea what love actually is. And then I think I've talked about this on the show before, but like, that's why so much shit that I don't know. I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum, frankly. Mm. So I don't mean to sound like I'm like being critical, but I do think that I feel like just focusing on yourself and like trying to find that love for yourself makes it possible to experience love for other people. And I was so grateful that Che reminded Miranda that Che reminded Miranda of that. And I also just want to say shout out to whoever wrote that scene and whoever is writing that fucking show for real. It's so good. But that part in particular, I was like, because Sex and the City has been about sex for decades at this point. And like, they are actually starting, they're opening up new levels of understanding what sex is. Because I always feel like sex really isn't that interesting and important, but that's not actually true. I think it's just that sex is not really that involved with love. Like, sex and love are not that close together. I think that sex is about pleasure. I think love is about, and creation, sex is about creation, but love is everything. Everything is love all the time. Love, the TV is love, the fucking wall is love, like all of that is love, but sex is about something else. And they're getting to the root of that in this really cool way, and they're really exploring the characters in a cool way. And we're supposed to be talking about what we're bringing in, but I just can't stop talking about Sex and the City.
We've been bringing
or that in. And Just Like That, I guess, is what we should technically call it. For sure.
That's right.
Because it is different. And Just Like That is not Sex and the City. It's separate.
What's new in paradise? Wow.
Not wow. I just want to say, in the last 7 days, since we last recorded this show, I have had a lot of different sex, and I'm grateful for it. I had some listening sex, listening from the other room sex. I had some hot tub adjacent sex. I had some with this first FetLife encounter sex. I had sex with you. It's so amazing.
Yourself.
I had sex with myself. And that is how I enjoy spending my time. That's how I've enjoyed spending my time that way. And I'm grateful. So that's what's new in paradise for me. What about you? California is dope. That's what I'm saying. California is dope.
Oh, so you discovered being a queer and moving to the Bay.
I didn't discover being a queer, but I did discover moving to the Bay. It is different here. The vibe is different here.
And there's a different vibe.
Yeah.
What's new in paradise? Boy, oh boy. I remain forever in awe of the complexity of human emotions and relationships.
I didn't know that.
A complete student, absolute devotee. Never will I ever, hopefully, forget. It is my most important practice, I think. Yeah, and it's just like why I'm here. It feels like a zone of genius, which check out the 15 commitments of conscious leadership if you want to know more about zones of genius. I feel like relating to people, and that includes sex. So I'm going to say that I realized at some point this week that having sex is being in a sexual space, being sex adjacent, all of that is very much in my like zone of genius. It's just where I feel alive, like I'm flowing, like I know what to do. I know myself, I know my body, I know how to relate to other people, I understand how to communicate, I understand how to. So it's really interesting. I say this a lot. I'm sure if she listened, my mom told me the other day she doesn't listen to the show because every time she listened in the first season, she heard something about herself and it made her sad.
Oh,
and I'm laughing only because that bitch has made me so damn sad. The point is that she's grown and she can handle herself. She doesn't need to listen to my show, but
I was trying to figure out why she was listening to it. I'm like, girl, if you don't get off of this right now.
Literally.
Lord.
But
that's not for you.
But what she would miss in the second season is how often I attribute all of my sexual prowess to her.
So, no, literally.
Anyway.
You really are quite gifted.
Here's the deal about having only tiny bits of myself being as a private person. Kylie was so gracious as to remind us how much we out ourselves for everything that we do this morning. And
shade police. Kylie, never Naya, ever. And Angel are the shade police.
They What's are that? Not any anything like a police ever. None of them.
No, police. They anyway. Know about it. It's no big deal.
Anyway, my mom misses how often I compliment her in the sexual arts. Moving on, I don't know anything about it. I just know that she did a lot of fucking. And she also was just like, I don't know. You know how some parents are really sex positive at home and some parents are really like not. She was definitely really sex positive and just like talked about sex like it was a normal thing that human grown-ups do and it's all good. And so in that way, I think I got a little bit of a tiny bit of a head start maybe on my acceptance of this part of myself.
My parents treated sex like it was like Chuck E. Cheese or something.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It just felt like, I don't know. They gave me this really great book about it when I was a kid that I realize now was a really great book. There was a whole chapter about homosexuality, a chapter about masturbation.
Rude.
But it was very much like, okay, so read this book. You'll know what's good. Aww. And we won't be discussing this anymore.
It was like a very your parents. And you sort of way of
can you imagine them trying to? They didn't, man.
I could totally talk to Tangela about sex.
Well, as an adult,
yeah.
Now she was so young. Can you imagine not knowing anything about your own sexuality? No shade, and I have no idea. Maybe they do know more about it. I don't know, but they got married really young, and they're Southern and religious, so like I don't know, and Black, so I don't know. Maybe I don't know, but I think they didn't know how to broach that topic. Yeah. And so they found a piece of literature that I did find to be helpful and did teach me quite a lot. So I think all's well that ends well.
Absolutely.
That score.
Well, I compliments to the chefs, I guess. I don't mind at all.
Did you say what's new in paradise? No, you did.
No, I didn't really. Here's what's new in paradise that I would like to actually say. I'm also grateful for multiple relationships, but it stretches me to my absolute limit. And I didn't always know where that is or what that was, but emotionally, spiritually, not really sexually, I'll put that on the side, but loving two people, loving two really complex emotional people, loving two human beings who like mean the world to me and are also like low-key sometimes don't love themselves and I don't love myself. You know, it's just such a cluster and we all react from all these different places, but I am madly in love with you, Jessamine, and I am so happy to be madly in love with another person too. But it's a lot. Mm-hmm. That is what's new in paradise. It is just so emotionally exhausting for me. It is so hard to do well in both directions. I don't high five. I refuse to ever have.
Will you please? Can we do our handshake or something? Because for real, like.
Do a modified. We'll do a modified. Slow and low. It's
good. I'm going to do it now. Okay. This is the thing about it. I fully identify with you. As someone who has had multiple partners for years, I feel like it can be so stressful, mainly emotionally. Mm-hmm. It can be stressful in scheduling. Whenever people say like, oh, you're polyamorous because you like love sex. I'm like, bitch, monogamous people stay having sex. I don't really think that's the issue. The thing is that I would like to practice radical honesty in my partnerships. And that means that we need to function from a place of polyamory. But with that, you kind of get to feel like there's only so much radical honesty you can handle in a 24-hour day, a 7-day week.
Bitches you didn't pick to be in the car with you are telling you about yourself in a way that you're just like, I didn't even ask you. Who the fuck are you?
Oh, I'm actually so sorry. Are we really going to talk about this right now?
No, I was just going to gloss over it. And you didn't have to.
That was
keep
an
it
interesting
going.
Summary. I don't even know that we need to get into it like that.
Did that happen to you?
You know,
it did.
It did happen.
It
to
did.
Me.
And did that happen to anybody else?
What are you talking
get
about?
Get told about yourself when you didn't even really pick the person to be in your life? This has happened
are
to me.
Are you being for real right now?
Are we cutting this out?
Not with this. No, we don't need to cut it out. I'm just saying, like, no, this is what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. I feel like I love and appreciate so much that you are having the experience of needing to balance multiple partners because it just makes me feel closer to you because it's something that I have not had anyone to talk to for a long time. My other partner and I do talk about this, but not as much lately. And so it's nice to, because there's only so much to say after a number of years. Right. But with you, I'm just like, oh my God, tell me. And it's interesting to be one of the partners always, but it makes me appreciate you so much. And just really, I'm grateful to know you. And I'm curious if your thoughts about what you can handle have altered. Because, excuse me, I used to think that I could do, and I do actually think that my capacity is three people, but not three people all doing the same level of thing. So, for example, we have two partners, and I mean three people, like three people that I am emotionally accountable to on a regular basis, like on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if this is making sense. I'm sure that somebody has written about like the way to talk about this, but this is, I'm just going to talk about the way it is in my head. But I can balance, maybe not successfully all the time, but two to three people that I'm in a serious relationship with over time. Do you disagree?
Yeah.
Woo, interesting. Okay, but wait. Let me say it and then you please tell me your thoughts. So two to three people, I think, well, it's hard. Okay, I see the ways that I'm not necessarily effectively doing it. I think that you can have, okay, it's really like two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two people. But I think that third person, I'm like, if the third person is real casual and it's very, very, very chill,
yeah,
and they know what it is, and y'all do like very specific, like you, they don't need you every day. They don't need me every day. I don't know. I'm trying to speak in second person. They don't need me every day. That I think we can rock with a third person, the casual third person, but two people I think is the max for day to day. And so I'm curious what your thoughts on your capacity were prior to your current configuration, your current polycule. And
I hate
that word. Part of why I said it. And I wonder how you're feeling in your current.
Okay.
Combo.
I realize why I hate polycule as a word.
Yeah.
And it's because it makes me think of Play School, like that company that made
school
kids' toys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really doesn't feel like that. So my capacity, I think what I'm realizing in this conversation actually is why for so long I've been a third or a unicorn and haven't, I'm trying to think. I mean, I haven't effectively for more than a chunk of time been in like day-to-day partnership with two people, unless I'm completely forgetting an era of my life. And I hope that somebody texts me like, pardon? I was dating somebody once when I was 19 and had like a month or two, or I was dating somebody else also, but that person was married to someone else. So like I've been around people who are in, you know, the hinge position of having two partners that they're relating to. I've been one of them, but I've very rarely been one of them and had another. And I've never had this kind of like depth and level of partnership with somebody like you and then went for a similar depth with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, all of those people being, well, you know, I used to have this construct in my head that men are not as complex as women or something, which is wholly
so
ridiculous and blown apart now that I have any sense of what gender actually is. But also that, like,
reverse misogyny? What's that?
Misandry.
Misandry, yeah.
No, it has its own word because it's a very important posture.
Please continue. I'm sorry to
interrupt. And practice. anyway, yeah, I've never been subjected to a great deal of men in my life, which is such a fucking blessing. I can't even tell you what a fuck. It's like when people say they didn't grow up with religion. They're like, I actually don't know what that means to be oppressed by religion. Like, I would never let somebody tell me that some mythical creature doesn't or does love me. I don't get it. And they're just kind of free of the burden of wondering if God loves you. You know what I mean? Or if you're going to heaven. It's just not there. And I feel like I was raised by separatist lesbians in this way that I'm like, all of my bosses, I was trying to recount to my friend, my very old friend who's also from Durham, or she's from San Francisco, but she lived in Durham for a really long time. And I was kicking with her yesterday. We were talking about Durham. But I'm losing my train of thought actively. Don't even know what
you
I
were
was
talking
saying
about the number of people balancing that you.
I was trying to get away from saying that.
Oh, yeah.
I think two people who are socialized to have and share a lot of emotions. Isn't that enough for me? And I don't feel like I'm doing that super well right now.
Oh, baby, I think you're doing a good job. I mean, it's hard. And that's the thing, is that I don't think there is a perfect, you know, I feel like the learning is the thing.
You know, where I get fucked up is trying to make family everywhere I go and like forcing the two of you together.
Yeah. Oh, my baby. We're all always trying to recreate our family models.
Yeah.
Like Channy said it on the week ahead this week, excuse me, which we can come back to in Astro Thought of the Week. But she was talking about how we all recreate our family systems and structures. And you're just doing that. Like bringing people together.
Low key, I think y'all would really love each other.
I do really love her. And I hope she's listening.
She is.
I'm just saying, I do. I love
her. Number one fan.
The reality is that in my experience of family, that don't mean you don't fight. Like families fight. That's who really fight. You can box with a family member because they're still going to be there. It's like it doesn't matter. You can't get away from them. So like,
then think about it. If what actually happened in your family is like, way too much getting away.
No, I feel that. And also we talked about like what if there was fighting in your family, y'all boxed and you did not come back together. There was no healing. Literally. And so you think that there can be no healing.
Or you don't, or you're just not as confident. Also, you and I are in a pretty solid partnership that despite all of our threats, it's probably not going anywhere anyways anytime soon. It's a different experience than being, you know, whatever. I have a lot of experience being a third, and I'm just kind of like compassionate to the position.
Totally.
No, so being real. Somebody like added on, it's like, where's the security? But I'm an Aries. I feel like if you're not an Aries, it's really hard for me to imagine that you would do that. I don't know what people do, but anyway, moving away from what's new in paradise.
Well, do you want to talk about And Just Like That, Sex and the Titty?
Desperately.
Yeah, let's talk about Sex and the Titty. I feel like there's so many different things to discuss with And Just Like That. We're all caught up, correct? There's a new episode tonight, I think, or tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh my God. I love this show so much. Oh my God.
It's literally everything that was good about Sex and the City, except
updated,
better.
Updated. Throw it up.
Updated. Oh, and all the stupid racism and transphobia, it feels like it's being not only not done, but addressed.
It's being addressed. They're talking about so many different things. They have really interesting characters, really interesting, diverse characters.
The one clunky bit, and you pointed it out. I don't know if you feel like it's clunky, but the way that they're rotating in fourth friend for brunch.
No, I live for that. You don't like it?
It just feels clunky.
No, can I just say though, I was going to say this a moment ago, and this is my personal letter to Kim Cattrall, and I just want to speak directly to camera. Bitch, I know why you didn't come back. And I don't know all the details of it, but I know you were over it, period. And like, I get why you didn't come back. And I'm so grateful that they did not kill Samantha. I was really worried that they were going to be like, this is a spoiler. So I was very worried that they were going to kill Samantha. I actually wasn't worried about it. I just assumed that's what was going to happen. I thought it was a very good storyline, quite frankly. And I was like, whatever, that's fine. But they didn't. And they've woven the character in so beautifully, made it perfect for you to come back. So I just, will you please just think about it for season two? I don't know what the conversations
three,
are.
Three or just, four, you know, just take your
any time. Literally whenever.
You. We miss you.
You can be in a nursing home. It will be so hot. Can you imagine? I'm thinking like season 10.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I'm like, Samantha will be fucking it up at the nursing
Jasmine.
Home. It'll be so much fun. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, Jasmine. There's always
when
that
y'all get to Grace and Frankie, please, I don't care when you come back. I'm just saying, you are missed. You are seen. You are held. I love you. Please. And Samantha is not even like my favorite character or anything, but I just really, Kim Cattrall, I've loved you since Mannequin. Okay. I need for you to understand. This love is real. Anyway, just, I love you.
I love thinking about Samantha Jones in the nursing home because low-key, my grandmother was
imagine?
Samantha Jones at the nursing home.
No, she...
Home.
Oh, my God.
And you wear her jewelry because y'all are in a legacy together. Mm,
that's because she's a real one.
She is.
We say your name. Okay. Ash's grandma.
Burton S. Harris. Go on.
Mary Burton Harris.
That's true, too.
Okay. There's so much to discuss with And Just Like That. I really want to talk about the character evolution, and I don't know if you have any thoughts about this or care, but I just think they've done a really beautiful job with aging up the characters and showing where they would be at this point in their lives and aging up the relationships. And I've always loved all of their like serious partners. I've always loved. I was, this is another huge spoiler. I loved Big very much. Big is like my favorite character ever on the show, which says a lot that, like, I love Big. I identify with Big. I really care for that character.
Wait, before you say the next thing, can I ask a question about Big? So in terms of the way that they aged him, do you still identify with him the way that you did with him in Sex and the City when you were first watching Sex and the City? I feel like you were like, part of what Big is doing is like sort of a like he, never mind, this is way too complex. I just feel like the way that you back in the day related to Big back in the day might be different.
How so?
I'm asking.
Sorry.
Might be different now that you're different and his character has changed.
How did his character change?
Well, I guess they didn't give us so much information about how his work life and stuff is different, but he has changed. Okay. He has changed in that he seems much more family oriented, much more Carrie oriented. He's like living his life around her. They're going to the Hamptons together. Like they're checking in. He's taking care of his health. She's happy about that. Yeah. You know, whatever. Like they're doing a thing. And I think I didn't get as far as everybody else in Sex and the City, but I know in the first seasons, the whole point and the way you related, I think, in some ways, to him, is that he was like, yo, I'm living my life. Like, it's cool to get down, but, like, you can't be taking over my shit. And I feel like that's how the first years of our relationship certainly was. And then we're, like, now, like, living in the RV. We're getting this lease together. We're all these different things, and it's shifted. Ooh, this is such a good question.
I feel like, first of all, I would love for us to finish the series and watch both movies because he evolves so much as a character. He goes through, he's like that, I think, for the first two seasons. And then in the third season, he marries Natasha and has an affair with Carrie. And that
so still not committing to anybody.
No, but he learned a lot through that experience. And then he was single for like a long time. And he and Carrie were friends through him being single and her dating different people and all these different things. He like went to, he moved to California. He moved to Northern California for a period of time and bought a vineyard in Napa and lived in Napa Valley for a long time, and she like went out to visit him, and like they're just like friends. They fucked, but like they were friends. And then over time he really realized how she was the one always, that she was the one who got away, that he loved her so much, and he just became like focused on being with her, if I'm remembering correctly. And then the series ends, this is a huge spoiler, the series ends with him going to Paris to find her. She was with somebody else.
I'm gonna cry.
And they get back together. And then in the first movie, they get married eventually. And then in the second movie,
he stood their relationship is...
He stood her. He left her at the altar first.
You would do that to me.
Shit I would do. And... You are very Carrie Bradshaw. I'm also very Carrie Bradshaw.
I'm a Carrie Samantha blend.
You are. I'm a Carrie Miranda blend.
Cute.
That's right. A little Charlotte on top sometimes.
You have zero Charlotte.
I just love Charlotte.
She's the best, but that's because she's your homie, because you're those other ones.
No, Charlotte's also such a cancer. The way she behaves, I'm like, stop trying to emotionally manipulate people. anyway. Okay, but so, but Big does become, you see him grow into a family man, you know, and like, I am experiencing some of that. It's very weird. And I'm kind of, I'm trying not to be put off by it, but it's definitely different than how I felt in my 20s and in my Saturn return for sure. It's weird. And it's proof of a biological clock because I'm like, I've never thought about having children. And now all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm literally raising the roof. For those of you who aren't watching this, you better.
But I still feel like it, you want to have children. You know what I mean? This is like a, you need to have children. You're meant to have children.
Why I'm here.
Yeah. But you need to do that. And I don't think that us need, but like, I think that me needing to figure out what I need to do is not what you need to do.
Totally. Yeah. I am just living in this moment for that Dorothy Allison video that we watched.
Oh my God. We should put that on.
We're going to put that on the website. So,
yeah. Because like literally that clip, Dorothy Allison talking about becoming a mother was so helpful for me. I really felt so seen in that. Shout out to you, Dorothy Allison.
Forever.
Thank you very much.
So we went to, me and Jessamyn went to Guerneville this last weekend, Guerneville, California.
With
my girlfriend.
Yeah.
yeah. And yeah, she, yeah, it was just a really sweet experience for the most part. And we also fought, which is fine. And, but Guerneville is where, I don't know if Dorothy Addison lives in Guerneville or if I just heard she did or she used to or something like that, but like through the lesbian sort of whatever info tree, with doing no research whatsoever, I feel Dorothy Addison in Guerneville. And so I wanted to go visit Guerneville really badly, like for the last maybe 20 years. So that's cool. And we did. Mm-hmm. And it was, and I got a lot out of that experience, mm-hmm. a lot out of it. And then while we were there, we watched, me and my girlfriend watched, but you and I watched later, mm-hmm. this video clip of Dorothy Addison being interviewed about becoming a mother. And it was, you just go check it out on DearJessamine.com.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. But also going back to Sex and the City and just like that character development.
Yeah.
Character evolution. Who is your favorite?
JDS.
No. Not a
Nicole.
No shade and all love, but not a secondary character. I'm talking about like one of the big three.
Nicole Ari Parker.
I said one of the big three, but obviously Nicole Ari Parker. What is Nicole Ari Parker doing there? I was like, bitch, so you just are just going to casually show up on this show. Like, it's okay. Looking incredible in every scene, every moment. Perfection. Utter perfection. Nicole Ari Parker is a gift and a dream.
I can't. There's no words.
I don't. There's no words needed. She is.
Thank you to everybody who made it possible.
Oh, my God. I don't know who sent gold carrot fucking like. I don't know what to her house. Them. So she was like, you know what? I will come off down the mountain. That's fine.
I guess. Send those.
I'll leave my husband.
Okay. Big three. Isn't Who Boris is my Coach favorite now? Miranda for her. I think that she's styled so unbelievably well. I think she looks so good. Her hair is always so good. I love the way they dress her body. I mean, I'm just telling you.
It's perfect.
I mean, SJP, I feel like, is just like a fucking statuesque.
Oh my God. She has gotten better with time.
I love her. Okay, the thing that happens when women age, and that thing that happens where you give fewer fucks, I feel like SJP was already, and I'm saying the actor and not the character for a second. Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel like Sarah Jessica Parker is like, she was always so good. And then now I just feel like she's so good with fewer fucks to give or something. That's just even better. I don't know how to say it much more than that. But that's
She doesn't. She has zero fucks to give.
But the kindest. She's the sweetest. Yes. She's so loving. People talk about her just being a joy to be around. And
I love her so much. Too. So much. And Kristen Davis, Charlotte York, Goldenblatt, former McDougal. Charlotte York is dressed really how, that's why I want to be Charlotte is the thing. I want to be Charlotte. I think I'm closest to Miranda, I guess, with like, I feel like Miranda Che Diaz is like the vibe. But I also enjoy some Sarah Jessica, I enjoy Carrie's vibe very much. But Charlotte is just like impeccable.
I love how if Charlotte just never had been on the show, I wouldn't notice. Just if she was never there, never a person, right? Never a character, I just wouldn't even know.
You don't care about Charlotte?
I don't even know anything about, I don't give a fuck about Charlotte.
Are you kidding?
It doesn't even come up for me. I'm literally thinking about all the characters. I'm like, can we bring Kim Cattrall back?
I'm so annoyed by you. I am so, I cannot with you right now.
I just
are you
don't
serious?
Know why. I have zero. You know what's funny is you used to talk about.
You are such a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just don't relate. I'm like, I don't. Have any sense?
Oh my God,
of who
Charlotte
she is, what she's
is
doing.
So. Oh my God,
I love Charlotte's kids.
We need
though.
To finish the series. I'm like, Charlotte's I feel like I can't even talk to you about this show. You're gonna be out here talking that yank, talking so much shit.
I'm not talking shit saying? So much as talking about a preference.
No, but this is the thing about Charlotte. She is like their moral compass, first of all, and she's always like.
But she's kind of liberal. Like, you know what I mean?
She's deeply progressive. There's an Instagram account that is Charlotte.
I'm sure there is.
Fuck, I can't remember. There's so many good ones. They're like Saved by the Bell Hooks, and I can't remember all this. But there's like there's one like that that's for Charlotte. Because Charlotte's always like, y'all are doing the most. But now Charlotte is out here being trolled every day by her children.
And husband, he's exceptional.
She's perfect. Oh my God. And her the way she behaves is exactly how that character would behave.
Like, she's a neurotic white woman.
Neurotic wealthy white woman who has all of these ideas about who she is as a person. And her children are like, you don't fucking know me. And her husband is like, you need to calm down. Mm-hmm. And but she's trying to like be friends with the black woman at school, even though like she does want to be friends with her, but she also just wants to be cool. Mm-hmm. Charlotte wants to pledge a sorority. You know, that's her whole identity. She's always been that way. And they just aged her in a way that is gorgeous and glorious. And so I think they did a great job.
Totally.
Kristen Davis is playing the fuck out of that
role.
That's true.
That's true. She is. I mean, this is something I'm marveling at actually, is how long it's been. And you know, you can just rewatch the shit and get back into it. But what shit could have happened to them in their lives, the actors, to make it difficult to get back into these characters? Or
literally.
And I'm just so proud. I mean, I just feel like it's literally just like we paused and now they're back.
But it's also clear that they really have been living in the roles. That's how I felt about Sarah Jessica Parker as Carrie. That she is like inside of Carrie. Like she is like,
she knows that character so
fully
there.
Mm. And like,
but also age. I mean, I think what you're saying is
that's what I'm saying.
I can't put my finger on the words, but
the way that Carrie holds her head in when she's like in, I'm for real, like she used to be anxious. She used to be, but her husband died. Like that has humbled her fully. And like Sarah Jessica Parker is living in that. And there is an elegance that comes with that. Like her nose, which Sarah Jessica Parker has always been criticized for her like angular face. People talk so much shit about her. And her nose is so, I mean, statuesque. I mean, like a fucking, like a swan. I don't even know. Like she's just like, she is fully, she is an older woman, you know? And like,
they let everybody look older too.
The way they look.
That's part of why I don't like Charlotte, is I feel like there's a little bit
Oh, yeah. But Charlotte would have work done. Charlotte would have
work done.
And like, she would have the most tasteful work done.
It looks good. It's true.
It's tasteful.
It doesn't look like she's older, though. You know what I mean? Or it looks like she's had work done.
It's the character.
I just said maybe one of the most misogynistic things I've said on the show. And I'm just excited.
I thought you said a very second wave feminist thing.
Had work done.
So I guess same thing.
Yeah, same.
Shout out to the second wave feminists in the room.
You know,
we say your names. We're grateful for you. Please, thank
y'all.
You.
Y'all did walk.
Please. I'm grateful.
No, I do want to say that it is interesting, that note, I think, for myself, of like, I'm talking about everything that I experience in the show. And like, you know, I used to be like, they're going to take my feminist card for talking about X, Y, or Z thing. But it's like, I do think about the way people are presenting themselves and the way that women are representing themselves. And, you know, I do think about, you know, this is commentary because it's on my mind, but I also acknowledge that I don't love to sit in a state of just like talking about people, especially people's bodies and appearances. So there's a little complexity.
Yeah.
It's a show also, but we are talking about the actors.
I mean, I feel like we're talking about, we're critiquing the show, like doing, I mean, I don't know. I don't really care
about it in my mind.
I feel you. I got nothing but love for everybody. I think everybody looks fantastic. I think the show is magnificent. I love them rotating in a fourth friend. Shout out to Willie Garson. Willie Stanford. Incredible. Incredible. What a fucking swan song. But thank you. Oh my God. The show is incredible. It's magnificent. I'm so excited to watch the next episode. Should we do Astro Thought of the Week?
Totally.
My astro thought of the week is that the full moon in Cancer was on Monday and Tuesday of this week. I guess we're moving out of the full moon by Wednesday today. But that bitch was potent and full and luscious. And I just really was grateful, am grateful for her, grateful for all of it. And okay, I'm grateful for, I'm so sorry, I'm getting a Slack notification on my phone right now. I am grateful for Janie Ledford, the director of partnerships at the product and partnerships. I'm sorry, I got the role wrong. It don't matter. Janie Ledford, this bitch is on here making something on that I wanted made. I'm screaming. It's gonna be available on the Underbelly Shop UB shop you can go to.
Nobody even knows what to look for.
You will. It will be on the internet. I love these hoes so much. I love this team so much. Y'all are amazing human beings. Yeah, full moon in Cancer. That was full moon in Cancer. Full emotion. Show all of it. Share all of it. Why is my mic so far away?
Share shouting.
Share all of your emotions. Not necessarily share all of them, actually. Feel all of your emotions is what the full moon in Cancer asks of us. Feel it so big. Feel all of it so that it can move through you, so that you can continue to do. There's so much withholding of emotion and retention and like hiding. And it shows up in all these fucking diseases that everyone has. And like it's in the air. When we don't let it pass through, we can't move forward. And so full moon in Cancer asks us to move on. So I'm just to be in it and then move on. I get stuck in it sometimes, because I guess it doesn't always say about moving on. It just says feel it. Mm-hmm. But it does move on, though. Eventually it's gonna move directly into Leo.
That's right.
And it's like move on,
right? And I think, yeah, the feeling it's like I'm learning and really accepting more about this concept of acceptance, that like you really don't, I mean, I'm just so critical of myself because I love a challenge and all that, but I just feel like there's been this a lot of opportunity in the last couple of weeks to just accept what's happening. And it's funny how it makes you move on. I mean, it doesn't always, but it's like, yeah, I guess I'm just accepting that. And then it's like, there's other stuff to do now. So you end up moving on.
It gets boring.
It gets boring. You're just like, yeah, okay, great. Okay, so I'm like that.
So I did that already.
Okay. Something else, or you know what I mean?
But then when it comes back later, you're like, oh, yeah, I do that.
Yep,
that's that what I got that. I do that. But if you're trying to hide from it.
Or make it different.
Yes.
When I'm trying to make it different, something I realized today in yoga was, when I'm practicing with you, I'm comparing myself to you. And I hate that because we don't have the same body. We don't have the same length of like pretzeling ourselves, length of time, life, earth, body. We have a different body. You practice yoga differently than me. But I judge myself against you when we practice together. And I feel so inadequate and I get really emotional and angry with myself. I'm laughing because it's like, why? You know, why do that? But I do it. And it doesn't matter why, and I don't need to fix it or change it. I just need to recognize that it happens. And then I was thinking about it today, meditating on it a little bit afterwards, and I was like realizing that when I accept in the morning that sometimes I feel inadequate for dumb reasons or reasons that don't necessarily need to be, but it happens and that's how I feel. Then later in the day when I'm on a work call and I feel like I did something wrong or whatever, I can be like, it's okay. Yeah, you do that. Remember, you did it earlier. So you're good. It's fine. You got through it then. You'd be all right. And then I move on. And then when I do it, you know, at dinner, I burn something or whatever. I'm just like, bitch, you need to just make a new one. Because by then I'm like, yeah, you do that. You feel inadequate. It happens. What else? More? No? Yeah, that's just it. Okay, let's go. So anyway, it's not an astro thought of the week, but you were talking
about it. It is an astro thought. It feels very astrological to me. And I feel like, first of all, I really identify with that experience of feeling like you're judging yourself against other people in the room. And that is actually why I started practicing yoga at home, because I was like, the experience of being in the room with other people for me is extremely distracting. Even to this day, I find it to be very distracting. And I realized that when we are in space together, like I'm very noisy. I'm very much like I'm taking up space.
God, that's part of it. Is I'm like, you're having such a deep practice and I'm a little bitch over here. You're like,
God, you are having practice.
Oh my God. Who does that?
No, everybody. We Athletes. All do it. The thing is, it's a spiritual athleticism because it's also your experience is the whole practice. Everything that you're saying, I'm like, what a gorgeous practice, you know, like the feeling of inadequacy. Oh, that shit. I don't want to talk on top of it.
I like what you're saying.
Thank you for sharing your reflection. And totally. I feel like I identify so much and I'm grateful that you said it out loud, because it feels nice to know that I'm not alone in that experience. But I love practicing with you so much. I love practicing with my loves. Like I love practicing with my lovers. It means so much to me. Oh my God. It's all I ever want in this world. Everything. It is everything. It's perfect. It's so perfect. I can't stop talking about it. Yeah. I'm not even saying anything new.
I mean, I keep doing it, even though I know I feel bad about it because I love doing it with you too.
I'm like, can we just get in there and cry on the mat together? Please. Like,
yes, but, I will. You know,
cause it, and it's like, it doesn't always, the crying doesn't always feel good. So I feel you.
Mm-hmm. The crying always feels good to me. When I can get to crying, because it's me, it's anger. I get so mad.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck you and fuck
literally,
everything about
fuck
you.
Fuck you, literally.
Fuck this teacher and fuck me. Why the fuck do I think I'm this way?
Literally.
And then I get out of there and we're on the call. I'm like, about to do the show. About to have a good day. It's like I can leave it there or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like making space for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
See you.
We gotta get to the next step. Love you. Okay, bye. Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, dearjessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Jamie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop page?
Drop page!